Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila 1, text 25. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chanda Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Utkantaya Chali Shabe Aila Nila Chale Purva Vatmaha Prabhu Nila La Shakale. Thus, in great anxiety, they all walked to Jagannath Puri, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them as usual. Omigana Timurandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Vayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vansha Kopa Tarubhyascha Tipashindu Bayevaja Vaditanam Avanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Gadadha Srivastade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Greetings from Newburgh, New York. Yesterday we did a nice program at Overdon, and British Radhe. And then after the program, I came up here. I'll be heading upstate. This week was also very interesting. I stayed with Professor Brian. Some of you may know him as Advaita. And I taught his classes at the university. And it was so nice. He has one class, Bhagavatam. And they use Prabhupada's translations. And I got to speak on the 8th canto. And it was kind of very interesting because I just felt very edified being able to do that. And explaining the text is explaining, I spoke on Gajendra Moksha. Basically, it was a 3-hour Bhagavatam class. But it wasn't preaching, it was just unpacking the texts and explaining what the Bhagavatam tradition, how the Bhagavatam tradition presents its conception of reality and the means to realize that reality and the result, the realization of reality. And then in the afternoon, he had a Hindu philosophy class, and he was up to the subject of Ramanuja, Acharya, and there was one text that he gave me a chapter to explain, which was on Vaikuntha. So I began, I was able to explain the Vaishnav conception of Saguna Brahman, that the absolute reality is filled with qualities. So that was very nice. And now we're here on the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's the Antilila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to fulfill the internal reason for his descent from going to go so far back on this because we do have a steady group. We're trying to imbibe the mood of a devotee, Krishna, to have the full experience of pleasure, which is love of Godhead, must take the position of the devotee. And the life of Chaitanya, who is the internal reason, the cause why God appears as Chaitanya, why Krishna appears as Chaitanya, is to somehow get that love, which is residing in the devotee's heart, and cultivate it to the fullest degree so that he can have the fullest experience of pleasure, which is love of Godhead. And Puri is the place where he cultivates that and shows us how to cultivate that by intense meditation on the holy names. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and the stories of Srimad Bhagavatam to create a sense of relationship with the holy names, which is really the way to remain focused on the holy names. This is the power of the bhakti process. And I've thought about it really, really deeply. You know, this type of meditation. And really, our attentiveness ultimately is going to be based on our sense of relationship or love with the person whose names we are chanting. That's the bhakti process. It's helpful to use meditative techniques to help control the mind and focus, and obviously it has to start with that. But ultimately, the depth of meditation that can be achieved in the bhakti tradition is going to be based on our relationship, and we cultivate that relationship by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and worshiping the deity. Even in yoga, the obligatory preliminary practice is Kriya Yoga. It's the pasya. It can't be a gross sense. You can't be too fond of the body. Desires can be satisfied. You can't be too fond of the body and pursue spiritual life. It has to be tempered. And then is Swadhyaya and Ishvara Panidhan. Swadhyaya means self-study. And that self-study is usually studying a scripture, a shastra, and generally a shastra promotes an ishtadev. And in Vaishnavism, in bhakti, the self-study is based on an understanding of God, because who we are is in relationship to God. Anyway, Lord Chaitanya deeply cultivated his relationship with Krishna and showed us how. And we follow his path. We have bad karma in one sense, but really, we're not so concerned with karma. We're concerned with free will, how we respond to it. And whatever situation we're in, is a chance to cultivate that vision of God, even if it's a difficult situation. It's meant to give us certain realizations, observations, perceptions, move forward. Of course, if we feel the situation we're not in is not conducive, we should try to change it. But whatever situation we are in by destiny, which is created by free will, so we might as well create our destiny for the future by our free will. Whatever situation we're in, we have to be accepting and responding in an appropriate way with our heads bowed down and faith, rather than always being frantic to control the environment for our own enjoyment. In other words, you have to make a subtle distinction. If we do want to change the future for the better, what we are in by our past activities, that we are not able to change, we just have to be very, very patient and observant and try to be as Krishna conscious as possible. At the same time, our destiny may give us a hint that we've accepted certain things by our free will that we no longer have to accept in the future, and we are foolish if we don't exert our free will to change them. Anyway, this Anti Leela Lord Chaitanya is showing us the goal. And the goal is to fill our hearts with devotion and love to the highest extent. What other goal can there be? And this is the process. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now back in Puri. And devotees come, and we've just finished their journey, which highlighted a dog joining the Perkaram. I think we did have a nice discussion about that. Really, the sense of Dharma. Dharma means responsibility in one sense. Responsibility we take for our responsibilities, for our duties. And a real cultured person is responsible. Takes it very, very seriously. They don't whimsically change just because there's a slight difficulty. As much as possible, we try to make decisions through the eyes and mood of service rather than our personal desires. Again, it may be our duty to satisfy those personal desires, but then there's a way to do it, which becomes our duty. But it's so nice when you read these scriptures, and so humbling to me, to see people who are serious about their responsibilities. When the dog leaves, Shivananda Singh is heartbroken. He became attached. He became attached in relationship to his responsibility. It's called, someone took shelter. He gives shelter. What is that called? That's called attachment. It's a relationship. It's love, anugraha, mercy, one extended. It doesn't cloud one's Krishna consciousness. And when it does, then one has to temper that attachment. But he's given shelter. What is shelter? You give affection. You're loving beings. He gave shelter to the dog. And when the dog was gone, he was brokenhearted. He took his responsibilities seriously. And he was therefore utkantaya. He was in anxiety. That's an anxiety born of responsibility, which is a healthy anxiety. And when they came, they met Chaitanya Prabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them. He came out from his place. He also had affection for his devotees. He's worshipable. He's the Supreme Lord. But he comes out to meet. He comes out to meet them as he Nilachale, as he usually does, as usual. Purvavat. Mistake here. Purvavat. As he's done previously, as he always does, he comes out to greet his guests. Sabaloya Koila Jagannatha Darsana, Sabaloya Mahaprabhu Karina Bhojana. Well, Chaitanya went with them to see the Lord in the temple, and on that day also took lunch in the company of all those devotees. Again, God is not just enjoying our love, but he is responsive. He also loves his devotees. He also wants to be with his devotees and share love with his devotees. So he goes to the temple with them. They're pilgrims. He goes to the temple with them. He also took lunch in the company of those devotees. I'm thinking now, Vrindavan is so nice to host the people that come. And this year was particularly rewarding. Raghunath brought a group of about 25, and it was a really tough trip for him. There were so many people to take care of, and a couple of the people didn't come to Vrindavan. But the people who came to Vrindavan, they came to where I was staying, and I got to take them to a walk in the forest, and they were so receptive. If you hear sounds in the bathroom, I'm staying in an Indian joint family, so there's a lot of relationships going on. So we go to the forest, and, I was explaining yesterday, I enjoy Vrindavan. People say it's been urbanized, but if within 15 minutes of a rapid walk from the middle of the Krishna Balaram Mandir, I can be out in the forest in the hermitage of some sadhu and his wife and family, sitting on a rope bed under a beautiful tree with unlimited bare fruits. They're kind of like little small apples. They grow in such abundance. They'll bring me a whole, as many as I want, and then they'll give me hot rotis. So I took them on that magical walk. That magical walk. That's what they call it. They call it the magical walk. And how much can come in one's heart when one is actually innocent and simple and faithful to the objects of devotion? Described yesterday, Narada Muni with Prasadam. Immediately all his sins were eradicated. Lal Babu, hearing the Bhagavatam once with trust and faith and open heart, immediately Krishna was arrested within the heart as per the second canto of the Bhagavatam. How wonderful when people can come to the Dham and just open their heart by some sukriti they have that sense. Some sukriti they have that sense. They open their hearts, and so much comes in, and it stays in. That's the nature of faith. Sometimes people's faith may recede, but it stays there. And what is it? A remembrance in the consciousness of an experience of sublimity in relationship to a particular activity. That's faith. That's why sometimes people are puzzled. How do people keep on going on? You know, in ISKCON, gurus falling down, second gurus falling down, third gurus, different things. This, so, you know, I'm not fishing ISKCON. There's so much good, but there's a lot that happens too in big institutions. You get the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's just life. And they somehow still believe, they still somehow accept. And then, you know, not everything fits their worldview. They may learn different things. But when you have opened your heart to God and have experienced that, it makes a very, very deep impression. Although sometimes we may forget. I remember Bori John Prabhu, who will be coming to visit me this summer. He'll be up about a week where I am. And he told me in his interview, he said, we were all pure until we got a taste for power. And when you get a taste for power, the offenses cover your devotion. So sometimes the experience is checked. The experience is there. Anyway, just a bob on this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagannath Darshana, Shabaroy, with all of them, and Kraina Bojana. He took Prashad, Shabaloya, with all of them. And then he provides them with residential quarters. And then the next morning they get darshan. Aishya dekila shabe she takukure tabu paishe vasiyache kichu apagure. When all the devotees came to the place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they saw the same dog sitting a little apart from the Lord. Pushara nari kele shashe dena delana Rama Krishna Hari Kohe Balina Hashiya. Furthermore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was throwing remnants of green coconut pulp to the dog. Smiling in his own way, he was saying to the dog, chant the holy names, Ram Krishna Hari. Seeing the dog eating the green coconut pulp and chanting Krishna Krishna again and again, all the devotees were surprised. Chatvakara. That's essential for rasa, a kind of astonishment. Not just in abhutaras, wonderment, but in the amount of love you get of friendship, the beauty of Krishna. Shivananda kukar deke dandavat kala nanyakari nija aparade shamala. When he saw the dog sitting in that way and chanting the name of Krishna, Shivananda, because of his natural humility, immediately offered his obeisances to the Lord just to counteract his offenses to it. So this may not be... One second, excuse me. This may not be an intellectual decision necessarily. It's the way he feels. And a Vaishnava, when he doesn't, when not absolutely required, he may see the world by how he feels. How you feel affects how you see. And the Vaishnava either is experiencing Krishna or experiencing separation from Krishna. Either way, it invokes a very, very intense sense of humility based on love. That's why I'm studying Narada Bhakti Sutras, and it says how bhakti is coming mostly by mercy. And it's coming by mercy, but it comes more by the mood of mercy. That you have such an experience of a drop of the mercy of the divine that you never feel qualified to experience God except by God's mercy. So that creates an intense sense of humility, which is a condition of the heart, which affects one's vision, which also gives one intense pleasure. And it tends to make one very sensitive out of love to one's separation from Krishna and one's own sense of humility. Dainya ultimately is only experienced in Vajra, according to the Bhagavatamrita, because only in Vajra can one have that intimate association with God that creates such a value, a worth, a treasure, that in separation it creates. That becomes your life, and in separation, you feel worthless to an extreme degree, but based on not wanting to be God, but based on wanting to be the servant of God. And therefore, it creates an intense ecstasy. So here's the Bhav of Sivananda Sena, although he's a big manager, this is his mood. And when you have strong sentiments, they're by impetus expressed physically in your words, your thoughts, and your actions. When you're a devotee of Krishna, get up. Kamana manasa gira, your activities, your mind, your words, they follow that consciousness. So he feels, I'm humble. And dandavat, he pays dandavats to the devotee. I can see this with a Vaishnava. They're so overwhelmed with that sentiment of humility. It creates this wonderful mood. And he asks for forgiveness. The next day, no one saw the dog. The next day, no one saw the dog, for it obtained its spiritual body, Siddhartha Pai, Vaikuntha, because it went to Vaikuntha. So I guess this is the main philosophical point. This is the result of sadhu sangha. Constant association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and promotion back to Godhead. This is the result of sadhu sangha, constant association, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and promotion back home, back to Godhead. This result is possible even by a dog by the mercy of the Vaishnava. Therefore, everyone in the human form of life should be induced to associate with devotees by rendering a little service, even by eating prasadam. What to speak of chanting and dancing, everyone can be promoted to Vaikuntha. It is therefore requested that all our devotees in the ISKCON community become pure Vaishnavas, so by their mercy, all the people of the world will be transferred to Vaikuntha Loka, even without their knowledge. It's a very nice concept here. Prabhupada's a missionary, but what he is saying is that to spread the mission, you have to be able to give sadhu sangha. You see why Prabhupada stressed his books, especially in the early days. What can people give others? Someone sent me an excerpt from Andrew's book where he was stressing everyone should be given a chance to take prasadam and thus be induced to chant the holy names of Hare Krishna and also dance in ecstasy. By these three processes, all performed without knowledge or education, even an animal went back to Godhead, which I mentioned, I think is a little significant in the beginning of Antilila, because there's an incredible high attainment here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will achieve, is attempting to achieve, and which we are expected to achieve. And of course, in the process of bhakti, and this is mentioned, this is alluded to very strongly in the commentaries of the Yoga Sutras, that grace is absolutely required. If Professor Bryant is very straight when he gives his teachings on the Yoga Sutras. Generally, there's 80% ladies in the audience, depending on where they are. Many are not married. And he just stresses brahmacharya. Brahmacharya. It's one of the yams. Works as neon too. How you deal with others, how you deal with yourself, celibacy. When you're talking about yoga, I'm not talking about bhakti. When you're talking about the classic yoga meditational process, which is not based on attachment to the object of meditation, but your ability to control your mind by the force of your jhana and your vairagya to such a high level. Celibacy is absolutely required. It's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter. absolutely required. But here what's saying is, what's required in the path of bhakti is grace, which comes from taking shelter of a Vaishnava. But I'm saying even in the Yoga Sutras, they recommend that you meditate on the name of God. Om Pranava, which is also means one who is perfectly praised. It may be a generic and not a personal name of God, but it has potency. And has potency to invoke grace, to allow you to achieve beyond your personal effort. Such are the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi. He even delivered a dog simply by inducing it to chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna. Etta Prabhu Agyai Rupa Aila Vrindavana Krishna Lila Natika Parite Vailaman. Meanwhile, following the order for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami returned to Vrindavan. He desired to write dramas concerning the pastimes of Lord Krishna, Krishna Lila Natika. Parite, Hoila, Mana, that was his idea. And what a beautiful idea. And Lord Chaitanya also sanctioned his idea. Not only sanctioned his idea was a product of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking him to present the pastimes of Krishna. And he came up with the brilliant idea that poetics comes from the reality. A reality is an aesthetic experience of intense devotion that operates by God's will according to the movement of classical poetics. And that is exemplified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. That is exemplified in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, based on the Bhagavatam, he wanted to expand that and write dramas to help people cultivate a relationship with Krishna, because that's what's communicated by dramas based on Bhakti Ras. There's a sentiment of devotion towards Krishna, and if you listen to that the appropriate way, that will enhance your relationship with Krishna. It's just the way drama and poetics work. So, this is what he is attempting to do. Of course, whatever is being presented and the use of these dramas, it's kind of an advanced stage. And I can see its relevance really kicks in when people become advanced. It becomes an essential component of developing their relationship with the Holy Name. But it's really mostly for people who, by their dedication, service, and surrender, have cultivated a specific relationship with the Holy Name. Or even a generic relationship with the Holy Name, or specific, whatever you want to say, that this is Krishna, he is God, he's the Supreme Lord. And I want to have an intimate relationship with him. And that's who I am. I'm a resident of Vrindavan. But he's doing this, and this is writing transcendental literature, in the mood of service. Even when Prabhupada left, he said, you know, there's GBC, there's sannyasi, there's guru. But to write this transcendental literature, it's not an ordinary thing. Because of the depth of realization and knowledge it requires. You have to have a lot of realization to understand these things. You have to have a lot of knowledge to understand how they're expressed, how one can express them. So right now, it's very beautiful. We're being introduced to Rupa Goswami in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. We are Rupa Anuga. We are Rupa Anuga. Because we want what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave through Srila Rupa Goswami. Therefore, we're Rupa Anuga. We follow him. This is what Chaitanya asked him. Lord Chaitanya asked him to communicate this. So this aspect of Krishna consciousness is coming through Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa Manjari Pada Se Mora Sampada Se Mora Bhajana Pujara Se Mora Bhajana Pujana Se Mora Bhajana Se Mora Bhajana. It's very beautiful. Rupa Goswami. So, in the Sangha, I'm going to be studying a little bit about it. It's really wonderful. I teach every day. I went way ahead in Vrindavan on this, and it's very wonderful to get a sense of his poetic expression. And you can get that sense. Okay, I'm going to stop now for today. And leave some time for questions. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my most humble obeisances.
Nanda Dulo, I saw Savita yesterday at my class.
Yeah, she talked to me.
It was so nice to see her there, you know.
Thank you, Maharaj.
You know, and with her student, Gurangi, and friend.
Yeah, she's an excellent enough devotee.
Okay, Nandajula, what's your question?
My question is, you mentioned that the depth of realization comes from knowledge. Now, the knowledge, for the acquiring knowledge, the mundane knowledge does not give this depth of realization. So how that knowledge will be acquired?
Buddha Bhava Samavita Aham Sarvasya Bhavavo Matasarvam Pagartite Iti Buddha Bhajanti Mam Buddha Bhava Samavita. I am the source of the material and spiritual world. The wise who know this engage in my devotional service. So to realize something, first you have to understand its theoretical position generally, and then apply it. And then by the application, one becomes realized. So you have to understand, you may not see Krishna, you understand Krishna is God, you understand where Krishna is devotee, and therefore you try to serve Krishna. And by that service, then it becomes a realization. And that goes with anything in the world, even mundane things. So First, you have to have some understanding, and then you have some application, and then there's some realization. Of course, with bhakti, technically speaking, you may or may not understand it, you can get a realization. But generally, you won't take sangha unless you value something, and you won't value something unless you have an understanding of it. But of course, I know when I came to Krishna consciousness, a lot of times, I think this is a good point too, which I think your question helps to elucidate. But a lot of times, we can just have an innocence, you know, not a, like a deep understanding of something, and then be affected by it if our heart's open. But generally, the heart won't stay open for further realization if there's not an understanding of its value. Like someone may come to some spiritual path or have faith in some leader. But then, if he finds out that the person is not qualified or understands by, you know, whatever it is, then the faith may wane. Or people lose faith based on sometimes some doubts or something. And when the doubts are cleared by knowledge, their faith regains. But it's not just the faith, the understanding, it allows them to renew the experience. Is that okay, Nandadula?
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. You know, it reminded me. I can tell you, Maharaj, if you have 1 minute. Yesterday, because we have, you know, every Saturday Bhakti Vriksha, guess what? Yesterday, we got to know a gentleman from Iraq. He, because of a book distribution that in our devotees they had opened, he read. He came and he participated in the kirtan and everything. At the end, I asked
him, a gentleman from where?
No, in Richmond, we have a Bhakti Vriksha every Saturday. I think, you know, I sent you an email I mentioned.
Yeah, you told me something. Yeah. But you said a person came from where?
He is from Iraq, but he lives in America for many years. And
Muslim man. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, he, because he saw the Hare Krishna in the book table, and, you know, he told him, do you have any function? So he told him, yes, Saturday, and gave the address and everything. He came, and he told, I saw people are dancing 42 years ago in Berkeley. That's what he told. The same mantra that he was now chanting now, I heard these things in 42 years ago when I was in Berkeley.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
I was also there 42 years ago. Maybe I saw the man. When my friends saw the devotees chanting in Berkeley in 42 years ago, I remember my friend was making fun, especially because they gave us a pack of Godhead, and they had a picture of like a rock or something. And the devotees were wearing these Prabhupada hats, which if you don't have a frame of reference and you first see someone with a Prabhupada hat, you know, with like a bright, ecstatic, frantic smile. My friend was joking that he thought they were Martians. So, you know, anyway, whatever the case is, I was also... Yeah, 42 years ago. Maybe I know the guy.
Well, you know, Maharaj, you know, we are expecting, you know, your coming here. And you know, I have already, you know, actually diffused this word a little bit. And so we were looking forward to when you make.
This week, I'm going to try to set a date. Because I'm now going to go back to my place and I have some time to sit down and look at my schedule. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Time to do well.
Thank you, Maharaj, for your wonderful class.
Would anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or ask a question?
Hare Krishna.
Gail, sorry.
Okay. Okay, Muni.
I'm happy. Gail would like. Okay, Hare Krishna. Sorry.
I wanted to ask you about something. Earlier in the discussion, you were kind of navigating the space where Shivananda Sena, he was both acting out of a deep sense of responsibility, but he was also acting out of a just natural kind of love. And I thought that it was an interesting, you know, if I understood what you're saying something like this, that, you know, a person of Dharma and a Vaishnava is a person of Dharma, should act out of responsibility. But if I understood what you were saying, it was something like, but you know, that responsibility, maybe this wasn't explicit, but I understood implicitly. Maybe if I'm wrong, please let me know that, you know, you act out of responsibility, but because a Vaishnava develops a soft heart, it's not just that, it's not just like a sense of that they have to fight with, but it's very natural.
You have a relationship. Responsibility, giving shelter means a relationship. Right? Isn't it? Go.
Yeah. No. I've been reading a lot of things and thinking a lot about this, both personally and also just in terms of philosophy. A lot of people that I really respect tend to say something like this. Real love requires responsibility. And that without responsibility, you might have a feeling, but a feeling isn't love. And I don't know, I'm curious what you think about that idea.
You did make it clear, and I read, you know, I don't read that many books, you know, but I did read The Art of Loving by Eric Fromm.
Yeah.
And he specifically makes that point that love is something that's actually worked on, not just a fleeting conception and emotion, but it's something that's actually developed. Relationship. It's funny, but you know, these are really deep points. Actually, if you think of that, you know, responsibility. You know, it's not because love is not also just obligation either. But unless there is some kind of commitment to one's responsibilities in a relationship. Above one's sentiment, then how can it possibly be love? You know what I'm saying? It morphs into selfishness. So there is something very deep about that, you know. But, you know, the sentiment is there. But I think the test of the sentiment is that one is willing to make sacrifices for the responsibilities one has in that relationship. Otherwise, it's really all about you. Just like a guy, you know. I mean, these things are complicated. Sometimes people don't make good. Anyway, but I think just like people just fleetingly break up relationships, you know, negating the sense of responsibility in the relationship, as if love is really all about how I feel and what my sentiments are. You know, then it's something else. In other words, and then it really distances oneself from the spiritual aspect, which is the connection of seeing beyond the body someone's connection to God and the responsibilities one has as a servant of God in relationship. So I think these, you know, what I like about philosophy is it's, you know, the applications of it is endless, actually. The issues that become prominent, it's like, you know, the issues that become actually needing of explanation because people are misapplying them on the subtle levels. I just wanted to say something. That class I gave, Perfection and Paradox, and we discussed it before, but I think the Mahavakya was, right, and I think it applies to everything else, is not being reflective and having superficial understandings of apparently good qualities from love, humility, you know, to self-sacrifice, and not having a kind of deeper understanding, which I think is what is required, especially on the spiritual path. If you want to use these qualities to enhance your own spirituality, one has to go deeper and deeper into the understanding of them. Otherwise, they may morph into just egotistical selfishness.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Marge. There's a couple things related to that I was thinking of putting forth to see your thoughts on, but I don't want to take up too much.
No, go ahead.
Okay, great. A couple things that, related to this issue of, like, responsibility and love. I don't know. First of all, actually, just in response to what you just said, you know, it's a funny thing because then when you hear you have to be reflective, because we're such messed up human beings, that can become a frozen formula too. You know, like there's, once it struck me in the temple, there's just no substitute for genuine Madhyam Bhakta Vaishnavas who, you know what I mean? Because if you're not a Madhyam Bhakta, when you hear you have to reflect, that becomes another formula that you can judge other people because they don't reflect like you, you know? Anyway, but what I was going to get back to
the reflection is not the Abhideya, the means, but it's just to help you when you find yourselves in situations that belie your morality or, you know, self-welfare in the name of spirituality, then you have to think and you have to raise your doubts. And that's traditionally what the role of a guru is. You know, you hear with faith, but also when things don't make sense, you know, and don't appear to have a proper application according to your values, then you raise your doubts. But anyway, guys, go on with something else.
So I don't know, something related to this point. I find that personally, you know, as bhaktas, as aspiring bhaktas, on one hand, we have this notion that really love of God is the most important thing, and that's why someone who is an outcast or who is, like, maybe by their past is morally deficient, if they have genuine love of God, we should treat them as saintly, and the kind of details aren't that important. But on the other hand, we have a very rich tradition of rituals and etiquette and social kind of stratification and stuff like that. And I find myself, I'm going to tie this into the responsibility thing in a second. I find myself that from the time I was a fairly new devotee, I've often been attracted to the idea, well, look, it's really the love of God that's important, so we don't have to worry about the details so much. You know, come on, who cares that much? And I kind of would take, I would be gratified when I would hear statements of Prabhupada sometimes dismissing the real importance of the kind of ritualistic stuff. Although he also stressed them in other contexts, but I would kind of cling to those kind of more quotes about the spontaneity or whatever. And I guess what I'm saying now is, now, you know, it's taken me, 18 years to realize that spontaneity and ritual are not opposed to each other, and that, I see myself, if I really love God, well, one next way to offer is to surrender to, like, the puja program. You know, you surrender to it. That's your love. It's not opposed to that. It's not opposed to spontaneity. And that just taking refuge in spontaneity without taking refuge in the ritual can end up being a kind of laziness. So I guess I'm just thinking about this connection between responsibility and love in terms of, like, daily commitments to puja and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing it out there as something
I've heard this, you know, because I've been in Vrindavan and so many, but yeah, it's when you have love, you want to please. And then there's a way in which God is pleased. You know? So people who, you know, kind of have that spontaneity, right? They also have a certain strictness, too. Because when they have that love, they really want to please God. At the same time, the goal is pleasing God, so they're aware when the ritual, right, is not serving that purpose. They're not stuck in that regard, but it doesn't mean that when they're above the regulative principles, they don't follow them. You know, first of all, it doesn't mean like sex life and all these things.
Right.
It just means that they, out of their devotion, you know, that's the goal. The goal is to serve Krishna, and if a certain thing doesn't, support that, then they're not bound in that way. But at the same time, they want to please Krishna, so they find out and they know what does please Krishna. And therefore, they do follow. So, and we had Raghunath Das Goswami, who is the Prayojana Acharya, it described that his sadhana is like the line in his stone. It means, I love you, Krishna, and therefore I'm going to chant 3 lakhs a day. You know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to pay 1,000 obeisances. I'm just thinking of Radhika, and sometimes it's just real simple, sweet Babaji with a smile on his face. You know, you see him paying obeisances and smiling and begging for mercy. Okay.
Forgive me.
You got one more thing.
Just a final thing. It seems like what you're describing is what Sri Rupa Goswami meant when he said you have to avoid both Niyamagraha and Niyamagraha. That's the real delicate line, and there's no substitute for wisdom, you know, when you're trying to navigate that. It's not like there's a trick or a formula. If there was a trick or a formula...
Sambandhagyan. Balanced understanding. You know, people who are spiritual, they have balanced understanding. They can apply the principle. I'm going to have to travel a little bit. I'll just say to a few more people. Thank you. All right, well, I may call you in a half hour, an hour, if you're free. But we'll see.
Thanks.
Okay. Gail, do you want to say something or ask something?
Well, I had a million things, but now that you've spoken to Mahamuni, I just wanted to comment that I really appreciate him. You know, I'll repeat your last words, balanced understanding, as it applies to love, responsibility, and sentiment, you know. I really appreciated how you put the sentiment and the sense of duty, you know, in perspective there. Anyway, one quick thing. Can you just tell me if you remember which chapter that verse is from? From me come the material and spiritual worlds and the wise who know. You remember which verse in the Gita that's from?
Which verse? That's the 10th chapter, I think the 7th or 8th or 9th verse. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Gail, I think we'll have to, you have so many questions, I think we'll have to speak on the phone again this week.
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Thank you, Gurangi. No, she wants me to, she says you should be called that. So what can I say? Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Gaudam Bhaktadas.
Gaudam Bhaktadas, what a nice program yesterday. And so many nice people. Great. You all had a great time. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Eddie?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Chris in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris. Oh, I have to come out there. Visit your family.
We would love it.
Okay. Send me an email. Let's talk. Maybe we can even Skype or call.
Okay, great.
Great. I will. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Itanya Priya in Seattle. Okay. Great. Nice to hear from you. And thank you for coming on.
Hare Krishna.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Allegra.
Allegra. Very nice. And that was nice to see you in Princeton. Next time I come, I'll also let you know what I did. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, for now I'll get on my way. Thank you all for listening to the class. Thank you so much. Ram Shikopa Trivia Shah, Professor Dubi, Bishop, Pahitram Pavani, Dio Vaishnavi, Dio Namo Namah.